It's good to see each of you this morning, and it's good also to have visitors with us, and we're thankful for your presence. I know that we as Christians understand that in the New Testament there are a number of commands that God has for us, and we're very cognizant of that, and we think about the commands that we need to obey. Paulo mentioned the command to take the Lord's Supper. And we're very familiar with that, and that is a command, and to lay by in store on the first day of the week. And so as Christians, we're very familiar with the fact that the New Testament has a number of commands. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and wanted to bring a lesson this morning concerning another command, maybe that we don't think of. There are a number of commands in Scripture, and maybe we don't recognize that or focus in on that. We see other ones, and we're very familiar with other ones. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll look at an example here. And the command that we're going to look at this morning, I hope, will be very helpful to us. It's a command that, if we follow it, it would be hard to think of one that would help us each day better than this one. It's all-encompassing, it's positive, it's helpful in many ways. And it will make us a better Christian all the way around. And it's in a command form. Before we look at that, we're very familiar, for example, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives. That's a command. We're very familiar with that. We talk about that one a lot. Chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents. And then in verse 2, honor thy father and mother. All of these are in the command form. But there are other commands in Scripture. In fact, if you're interested, I can give you a copy. I have a list of all of the commands in the New Testament. And if you're interested in that for your own personal Bible study, I'd be glad to make you a copy of that. All of the statements in the New Testament, from Jesus in the Gospels all the way to the book of Revelation, that are presented in a command form. And those are actually instructive to think about and look at, just to understand this is what God is commanding of me. And I think that's very important. If you want that list, I'd be glad to make a copy. And in looking at some of that recently, I got to thinking about one that I want to look at this morning that may not come across our radar as a command, and that is in chapter 5 and verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Let's talk about that this morning. We are to be filled with the Spirit. We are commanded, not optional. It's something that God wants of us. And what we're going to see this morning is what that means. I want to go down through the text and understand what that means. And then I want us to see the benefit that it will help us each and every day. The areas of our lives that we will be benefited in if we will allow the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. What it means and what it does not mean. Before we look at some of the benefits of this, I want to tackle a textual issue at the beginning. Paul writes in verse 18, and be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. If you have a Bible that has marginal notes, in the margin it will say, be filled in spirit. So, small s, is this our human spirit? Or is this the Holy Spirit? Now, in the text, most of the main versions have be filled with the Spirit, capital S. And so it's the idea of the Holy Spirit. But what about this idea in the margin in spirit? Is it talking about our own personal spirit? Well, that would be an option. But just quickly to cover a textual matter before we begin, I believe our major versions, when they put it in the English, be filled with the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, capital S, I believe that that's justified for the following reasons. Literally, it's be filled in spirit. And our major English translations have with the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. So is this justified? Are we to be filled in spirit? That is, our own personal spirit is to be filled in a way that we might say is positive and encouraging? Or is it that as Christians we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I believe it's the latter. And I would say, for these reasons, in doing my own personal study, it's just something that you have to tackle when you look at this particular verse. First of all, notice that Paul is making a parallel between being drunken with wine and being filled in spirit. Literally, being filled in spirit. It's a parallel between influences. Outside influences. So I can either be influenced by alcohol, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. I can be influenced by that, or I can be influenced by something else that is outside of me. And that is the Holy Spirit. And so I believe that that would lean toward the Holy Spirit. The second thing is that there are places, turn back just a couple of chapters in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5. There are some places in the New Testament where the words in spirit in the context are the Holy Spirit. So we could have just the two words in spirit, and that could be the Holy Spirit. Here's an example of this. The apostles and the prophets, they received God's revelation. And Paul writes, as it has been revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets in spirit, is literally in spirit. Your Bible says in the spirit, capital S. And I believe that that goes along with the teaching of the rest of the scripture, that the apostles and prophets revealed the New Testament scriptures through the Holy Spirit. But technically, it's just in spirit. So that phrase can mean the Holy Spirit. The same thing in Matthew 22:43 with regard to David. David said, in spirit. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. He said that in spirit. Well, in your Bible it says, David said that in the spirit. He did that inspired by the Holy Spirit. So that phrase can certainly, in context, mean that. A third thing that I would point out is that often in Scripture, and you'll see this a lot with Luke, in the book of Luke and Acts, when the words fill and spirit are together in the same verse, it's often the Holy Spirit. And so in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, be filled in spirit, literally, could easily be the Holy Spirit. And then last of all, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. The parallel that Paul makes in the book of Colossians. Whenever you're studying the book of Ephesians, always keep in mind the book of Colossians and vice versa. They're parallel in many regards. Much of the same material is in both books. And so when Paul is leading up to this matter of singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, in Ephesians, it's be filled with the Spirit, singing one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Look at how he puts it in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And so in Ephesians, it's be filled with the Spirit, and then it results in singing. Here, it's let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, and then singing. And so it's parallel in the sense that being filled with the Spirit would be the same as letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. So I just wanted to touch on that at the beginning from just a textual standpoint, that we're talking about being filled with the words of the Holy Spirit. We're letting Christ's words dwell in us. And that song that we just sang is a great song right before the sermon, talking about opening up our heart to the words of Christ. That's the very thing that we're going to be talking about this morning. So when we talk this morning about being filled with the Spirit, we're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So come back with me now to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. The first thing I want to notice is that this is a command. It's a command. And we're to be filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit each day. It's just as much a command as other things that we often talk about in the Scripture. And it's presented in the present tense. It's to be a continual, habitual thing. And we're going to see in just a moment some areas of our life that this will help us in. If we will get up each day and be filled, and we're going to talk about what that means in a minute, be filled with the words of the Holy Spirit, how much help that will give us in every aspect of our life. So it's a command. It's not optional. It's something that we must be doing each and every day. And It is also in the passive voice. Literally, let yourselves be filled. Some versions actually put it that way. This is not going to be forced on us. The Holy Spirit is not going to force Himself on us. Let yourselves be filled with the Spirit. It's a choice that we make. And I want us to make that choice each and every day. God does not force Himself into our lives. Jesus does not. The Holy Spirit does not. Now, there are some religions that teach that today, that the Holy Spirit comes on you and you can't resist Him. But we can choose to be filled or not. We can choose as Christians to barely have the Holy Spirit in us or be filled. And it's a voluntary act that I want all of us to choose each and every day. Also, look at the passage. Paul writes, be filled with the Spirit. It's a filling. It's a full measure. It's to be completely controlled and influenced by the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking about in just a minute this contrast between wine, don't be drunken with wine, and the Holy Spirit. We're talking about influences. What influences us? What controls us? And if we're completely filled up with the words of the Holy Spirit, it will completely influence everything we say and think and do. And it's really a beautiful command that helps us as a Christian. Now, that raises the question, what does it mean to be filled? Well, let's turn to a Bible passage that will help us to understand this. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. The very last verse, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, when Paul is in Antioch, the very last verse. He's been preaching there and the Jews don't like it and they cast him out of the city. This was common in the book of Acts. And so they go elsewhere and they teach the word of God where they're wanted. Look at what is said at the very last verse of Acts chapter 13 and verse 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So we're trying to figure out what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, what does that mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, let me ask you this. What does it mean to be filled with joy? When you answer that question, then you can answer what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled. What does that mean? So what does it mean to be filled with joy? Have you ever been filled with joy? We can relate to that. We're trying to relate to what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a spiritual concept. We're trying to relate to that. The Holy Spirit, we can't see Him with the naked eye. So we're trying to relate and we're trying to figure out what this means. So what does it mean to be filled with joy? Well, if you're old enough here this morning to have gone through some things in your life and you've been filled with joy, you know what that means, right? For example, as parents, when one of our children was born on that day, filled with joy, when they became a Christian, filled with joy. Some of our young people here, maybe when you received something that you really wanted, filled with joy. What does that mean? Well, when you're filled with joy, do you remember that that's what occupied your mind at that moment? That was what was completely controlling your situation. Nothing else was on your mind. You were filled with joy. It takes over. It controls. It's a very positive thing. And when you're filled with joy, if somebody were to say something even of a negative nature, you would think, well, I'm not even going to mess with that right now. I'm filled with joy. It's the central part of your life. It's what takes over. It's what controls. So we know what it means to be filled with joy, verse 52. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not some mystical or mysterious thing. It's when the Holy Spirit is the central part of what is controlling us. It's what takes over. Nothing else is going to get in the way. Nothing else is going to squash that or put a damper on that. They were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It completely controlled them. Think about all of us obeying this command, how it just immediately changes things in every aspect of our life. Now, look at Ephesians 5:18. This command is a contrast to another command. Paul is writing to Ephesian Christians who lived in a culture and in a climate, Acts chapter 18 and 19, they had the Temple of Diana. They were in a Greek and Roman setting where wine was used a lot in daily life. And these are two opposing commands. Be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, your version might say dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. It's a contrast. And what's interesting is this, that Paul is saying, you can be influenced from the outside by either physical things or the Holy Spirit, spiritual things. Wine is a drink. It's a physical thing. And you can let a physical thing come into your body and control and influence, or you can let the Holy Spirit control you and influence you every day. And Paul says, you don't want the former, you want the latter. Now, one reason why Paul mentions this is it's a little bit different setting than what we have today. Let's put it this way. It's the same setting, but there's more to it. Today, with regard to wine, that is typically what we call like a social setting. It might be in a person's home, or it might be out at a restaurant or something like that. In Paul's day in Ephesus, wine was very much a part of the religious services of the Greeks and Romans. When they would go to the Temple of Diana or the Temple of Apollo in Corinth and other places, there was wine that was served as a part of the religious services. And so it wasn't just some personal thing that was being done, be not drunken with wine, but it was publicly, and it was very much a part of a lot of different kinds of civil and social and even religious services. The Roman god Bacchus, the god of wine, they would actually have that as a part of their religious service. So these people in Ephesus had grown up in a culture where wine was everywhere, including religious services. It was very common. And Paul is saying, don't be drunken with wine. The verb there is to grow drunk. Don't let that be your influence. You're around that all the time. That's your culture. That's what you're a part of. Don't let that influence you. If you're going to put something in you, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the point simply is this, that we can be influenced, and we are influenced a lot by different forces. It can either be that which is physical in nature, and we could expand this to drugs and other kinds of things that control people's minds and bodies. We can either be influenced and controlled by that, or the Holy Spirit. And Paul says the latter. And it's commanded. We are to be filled with the words of the Spirit. Now, when you look at this contrast, there are some interesting things. If you just think about for a minute, alcohol, whether it's alcohol or some other kind of physical influence, just think about it for just a minute. I can either put alcohol in me and there's going to be some effect, or I can put the Holy Spirit in me, and there's going to be some effect. Let's look at that for just a minute. Both are influences. When you put alcohol into your body, and I don't know this from personal experience, I know this from reading about it and just common sense and other things that you know in the medical field and so forth, that when you put alcohol in you, even starting with the smallest amounts, it begins to affect the body and the mind. It gets into your blood system. It's a depressant and a suppressant. It slows things down. And so your motor response is slowed down, your cognitive responses, motor skills, thinking, reaction time. It's beginning to slow down. That's just the nature of that particular ethyl alcohol. That's just the nature of it. So it's going to do something. It's going to have some influence on you. And so we can either be influenced by that or other physical kinds of things, or we can be influenced by the words of the Holy Spirit. Both have influences. And Paul is saying, pick one, not the other. Both wine and the Holy Spirit produce results. When you put that alcohol into your body, it begins to do things physically, and there's going to be some results that will follow. Now, not in every case is it going to be misery and regrets, but that often is one result. There are different kinds of results, even if it's just simply the slowing down of the metabolism of the body and the mind. There's going to be some result. Okay? But when we imbibe and fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit and His words, this is not something that we're going to regret. It's not going to be something where we later think, well, I shouldn't have done that. It's going to be that which is going to produce only good in our lives. Both will produce effects and outcomes. You know, when you drink, and again, not from personal experience, but just even just hearing other people talk and witnessing it in their lives and so forth, there's going to be a temporary and immediate effect. When that alcohol hits the bloodstream, it's going to do some things. And a lot of times there's an immediate exhilaration and there's a happiness and there's a positive thing about it. But when we put the Holy Spirit in us each and every day, and we walk by the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, and we produce the fruits of the Spirit, we'll get to that in a minute, there's going to be some long-lasting positive effects for ourselves, our marriage, our family, people around us. And that's the kind of effect that we're looking for. It's all about influences and control and what is going to completely fill me today and control me. Both attract attention. Paul says, be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot. Some versions have dissipation. The word literally means not saved. Asoteria, not saved. It's a situation where it's not producing any good. And so some versions have riot, some sort of wasteful or profligate living. It's the same word that's used of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, that he wasted his substance with riotous living. So it's going to cause something in our life that's going to bring some attention. And with the wine, it's going to bring attention that's not good. It's going to have people looking at us and seeing things that are not good. Or, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, it's going to be nothing but good behavior. So what do we want to attract? What kind of attention do we want to attract? Both reveal a person's hidden but true character. Have you known of situations where a person starts drinking and then all of a sudden, after a few drinks, and this is what, you know, is the typical thing at bars and other places, where the people start saying things that they've loosened up. And they start saying things and thinking things. It makes something come out. And prior to that, they may have suppressed it or controlled it or were careful about it. But the alcohol, because of the nature of it, it loosens up the inhibitions and the control, and you feel more likely to say and think and do things. And so people will often say and do things on alcohol that they wouldn't be when they're sober. What it's doing is it's revealing a person's character there that's there that they would normally control, but they're not. And so there might be uncontrolled words or deeds, but with the Spirit, it's completely controlled goodness. So, again, it gets to Paul is saying, what is going to fill you and influence you and control you? The command is, let it always be the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see some positive effects of that in just a minute. Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. This raises the question, and this is particularly important with regard to some of our religious friends today, among the Pentecostals and the Charismatics, that if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, is that going to be something that involves maybe shouting and in the old days, in the days of the Great Awakening, what was called the early 1800s, some who were filled with the Spirit, they were rolling on the ground. And some were called shakers and Quakers because they moved and they shaked. And so we have those terms that we know today, the shakers and the Quakers. So what is going on there? Well, it's the idea that, well, if I'm filled with the Spirit, then I'm going to be doing all of these interesting kinds of things. Well, look at verse 19. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. And then he uses five participles, ing words that describe how the command is carried out. Verse 19 is not separate from verse 18. It's be filled with the Spirit, and we might add, and this is how speaking, making melody, giving thanks, subjecting yourselves. There's five words. Speaking one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing, here's your second one. Making melody, there's your third one. With the heart to the Lord. Giving thanks, there's your fourth one. Always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God even the Father. Subjecting yourselves, there's the fifth one. One to another in fear. What's the point? Do you see anywhere in there rolling on the ground and shouting and waving hands? Being filled with the Spirit is done by these five things, Paul says. Three of them involve singing. And by the way, this morning when we were singing, we were being filled with the Spirit. And when you give thanks in prayer and in other ways of giving thanks, you're being filled with the Spirit. And when we subject ourselves, and we don't talk about this much, but in verse 20, we subject ourselves one to another. When each one of us says to the other, I'm here to humbly serve you. You're here to humbly serve me. I'm here to humbly serve you. And so subjecting ourselves one to another. Humble service to each other. That's how the command is carried out. And notice that it has nothing to do with some charismatic, out of control behavior. So it's very important to see that. How is being filled with the Spirit worked out in our actual life? One other thing, and then we'll move on. A few weeks ago, Daniel Arthur, the preacher in Ghana that I've been working with, he sent me a copy of the president put out some COVID restrictions for religious services. And there were several things listed there, and some good things are listed. But one of them was no spitting. No spitting. And I'm thinking, well, why is that on there? And so we were talking one day, and I asked him about that. And he said, well, in some churches here in Ghana, that's actually a part of the religious service. Spitting. So I'm thinking, well, that's an interesting church service. So, you know, they were not allowed to do that anymore. But that's one thing that they were doing when they get all worked up and they're engaged in their kind of thing. And then another line said, no waving handkerchiefs. And so I asked him about that, and he said, well, that's another common practice in some of the churches, waving handkerchiefs. So there are different things that people do to get spiritual and be spiritual, but notice in verses 19 and 20, there's nothing along those lines. It is something that is very much in our control, singing and giving thanks and subjecting one another. It's not something where we're out of control. But that's often the common idea, even in religions today, that when you're filled with the Spirit, you're just out of control. And in fact, we're not. So, let's look at some practical things this morning then. It's a command. Verse 18 is a command. And there are several of these in the New Testament that maybe we haven't noticed before. Maybe haven't been on our radar. We're thinking about taking the Lord's Supper and the contribution and loving our wives and children, obey your parents. And there's a lot of commands, I'm sure, that we have on our radar. With regard to conversion, repent and be baptized. That's a command. But this is a command. Be filled with the Spirit. Let's obey this command. Each day we're going to be filled, completely controlled and influenced by the words of the Holy Spirit. You know what that'll do for us? Number one, we will be better guided in life. We all need guidance. We all need to know how to live, how to make choices, how to choose what is right and wrong. And Paul writes that we are to be led by the Spirit, Romans 8, verse 14. We're not to walk by the flesh. We're not to walk by what we think or feel. When we're filled with the Spirit, our first thought is, where do you want me to go today? How do you want me to live in this situation? What do you want me to say right now? What would be the best thing to think right now? And when we're looking for guidance and we're trying to find our way through different situations, when we're filled with the Spirit, we will be better guided. And along those same lines, we will be better informed, because we're not going to take a step if it's not what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Now, in the Bible, of course, we know that the details of things of life. What gas station do I choose? You know, do I turn right or do I turn left? We know that those things are not in the Bible. We're not talking about those types of details. We're talking about, however, there are main principles in the Word of God that will help us even with the details. Do you remember in Revelation chapter 2 and 3? He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to be taught by the Holy Spirit. That's why our daily Bible reading is important. And yes, to the junior high and high school, great, on 100%. And let's all follow that example. Why? Because when we read our Bible, the Holy Spirit is informing us on how to live each and every day. But look at what Paul says. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. There are people who say, I don't want that. I'm not going to listen to the Bible. I'm not going to read that. I don't care about that. And the natural man is just the man who's going to end up being unconverted and lost. We'll be better informed if we're filled. We'll be better guided. We'll treat each other better. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. You know, we're very familiar with Galatians chapter 5 with regard to the fruits of the Spirit. But do you know what is said on either side of the fruits of the Spirit? In other words, what came up that brought up this matter to Paul about walking by the Spirit and producing the fruits of the Spirit? What is the context? Notice what he says in Galatians chapter 5. And verse 13, for you, brethren, were called for freedom, only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. He had written that in Ephesians 5:20, subjecting yourselves one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he goes into this discussion of what we call the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And then look at how he closes it in verse 25. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. On either side of this, verse 15 and verse 26 deals with how brethren get along with each other. And right in the middle of that is what we call the fruits of the Spirit. Paul was not just writing some things and then said, by the way, here's a miscellaneous list of some good things to do. It's in the context of how we treat each other. And when we are filled with the Spirit, verse 15, we will not bite and devour. Verse 26, we will not provoke and envy one another and so forth. If we're filled with the Spirit, yes, we will produce the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. But it's in the context of treating each other the best way that we can. You know, when we're filled with the Spirit, we'll be more united. Paul talks about giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit. We'll work toward that. Because the Spirit is all about unity. The Spirit is not divided. The Spirit has nothing to do with division. He's completely united with God the Father and God the Son. The Spirit is about total oneness and unity. And when we're filled with the Spirit, we will work to be unified. We may have to do some of those things in verses 2 and 3 to give up some things, but we will be more united when we're filled with the Spirit. You know what? We'll take a better stand against the devil. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. When it comes time, and we've been talking about this morning in our high school class about don't let the devil get us off that highway to holiness. It's great material. And we're going to put on that whole armor of God. He's out there to devour us. When we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to be better in our military campaigns against the devil. We're going to win more battles. We're going to be more militant. We're going to stand for truth. We're going to resist temptation and sin. And look at what Paul says after putting on the whole armor of God. Look at verse 18. With all prayer and supplication, praying at all times, literally, in spirit. Your version says, in the spirit. It's the same thing as chapter 5, verse 18. We're going to put on the whole armor of God. We're going to take up the sword of the Spirit, verse 17, which is the Word of God, and we're going to pray in the Spirit. It's going to make us more militant to stand against the devil. And Jude says that in Jude verse 20, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying words that are directed by the Holy Spirit, that come from Scripture, that come from scriptural principles, just like our songs, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, songs that are based upon the words of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that song that Daniel led right before the Lord's Supper, just about every word of that came out of Isaiah 53. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Oppression, afflicted, wounded, all of that, straight out of Isaiah 53. We were singing a song based upon the words of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We'll take a better stand against the devil when we're filled with the Spirit. We'll worship better. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. We will want to be here. We will enjoy coming to worship. We will be engaged. We will not be distracted. We will have our minds on what we're here for. We love to come and serve the Lord. And so Paul says, we worship by the Spirit of God. When we are filled with the words of the Holy Spirit, our worship will be better. It's where we want to be. It's what we want to do. We will be more loving. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 8. Paul talks about who declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Literally, your love in spirit. More loving, because one of the fruits of the Spirit is love, and the Holy Spirit wants us to love one another. And so our love will get better. We will find ourselves not quenching His Word. Another command that we don't think about is 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. We'll be open to God's Word, not trying to put it out to quench something. When you quench a fire with water, you put it out. We're not going to try to put out God's Word. We're going to see how much we can have it in our lives. It's going to control us. It's going to influence us. It's going to fill us. We will let the Holy Spirit set us apart from the worldly things of this life. Paul writes and Peter writes about the sanctification of the Spirit, the setting apart of the Spirit. And then he says, by belief of the truth. When we believe this truth, it separates us from the things of the world. Filled with the Spirit. And then last of all, we will act as the Holy Spirit acts. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does, His main role, is to take the good news of the gospel, the revelation of God, to the world. And He invites people to come to that. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. We will act like the Holy Spirit. And we will invite others to Christ, filled with the Spirit. Have you ever eaten a meal that you just really loved and you filled up on it? You can't put anything else in. You're full. You're satisfied. You're content. You don't want anything else. When we're filled with the Spirit, that's our life each and every day. We don't want something else of the world. We're controlled. We're influenced. We're completely filled up. And I'll close with this illustration, that when you need to fill up your gas in your tank, what do? You got to go to the right place. And if you want to fill your tank with gas, you got to go to the right place. You don't go to the bank to get gas, do you? You don't go to the bank. You don't go to the golf course to get gas. You go to the gas station. You got to go to the right place. If you want to fill up with gas, you got to go to the right place. If you want to be filled, if we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we have to go to the right place. And that's the Word of God. And that's the worship service. And that's prayer and Bible study and spiritual things. We have to go to the right place and we'll be filled up. And the second thing you have to do is you have to open up. When you get to the gas station, you have to open up the gas tank and take that cap off and be willing to let something come in. And we have to be willing to open up and let the Holy Spirit fill us with His influence. Remember, the command is literally, let yourselves be filled. We have to open up and let Him completely influence us each and every day. And then you have to take the pump off and do something. You've got to put it in the car and squeeze the trigger. We've got to do something. We've got to be active in letting the Holy Spirit fill us with His words. And I know you want that in your lives. One reason why you're here is you're wanting that very thing. And you do other things to keep yourselves filled. That is a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's go out and do that each and every day, as I know that you are doing. Let's continue to do that. It's a habitual action. It's something that we make a conscious choice on each and every day. The Holy Spirit is who is going to influence us. Physical things of this life, worldly things of this life, we're not going to put that in our body to influence us, to get some sort of a particular control. We're not going to use that. We're going to use the Holy Spirit. That's why He's there. Let us be open to His lead and His guide. There may be someone this morning that needs to respond and obey the gospel. You would be letting the Holy Spirit's words affect you, where you come and repent and be baptized, or a child of God who comes back. I want the Holy Spirit to control me again, to be the influence. His words influence my life. What a great decision that would be. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?